Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Mel Robbins. In this episode, best-selling author Jason Wilson discusses the surprising struggles that men face but often do not talk about. He emphasizes the importance of men learning to show up differently for themselves, addressing issues such as anxiety, fear of failure, and the longing for love from their fathers. This conversation delves into the emotional challenges that boys and men encounter in today's performance-driven society. Remember to follow us on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
Our expert today is one of my most favorite people on the planet. I'm talking about best-selling author Jason Wilson. And Jason is here to talk about the surprising things that the men in your life are struggling with and probably not talking about. And today, you and all the boys and men that you care about are going to learn how they need to start showing up differently for the most important person in their lives, themselves. What keeps you up at night right now, Jason, when you think about the challenges the boys and men are facing?
I'm concerned for boys now. They're overly anxious, apathetic, an extreme fear of failure. They're longing to be loved, not only by their mothers, but their fathers.
What is it that is making men and boys' souls so weary?
We're living performance-based lives. You want to become a human being, not a human doing.
Say that again.
When a man always says, I'm good, nothing's wrong, that's a warning.
How do I do this? How do I reach my husband? How do I reach my son? How do I reach my brother? Jason Wilson, I have been waiting to get you to hop on a plane and to be here in Boston. I am thrilled you're here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm really happy for you. I'm proud of all that you're doing. It's amazing. I've been a fan of yours, seemed like forever. And so to see all that you're doing and the impact you're making is really inspirational. So thank you, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
And I'm finally at a point in my life where I can receive it. So thank you.
Yes.
And thank you for writing this book. You know, I pored over it. There's so much that I want to unpack with you. Mm-hmm. And for anybody that is listening right now, I would love for you to talk to the person. They may be in their car or at home or at work or taking a walk and they've invited us along. Could you tell them, Jason, what they could experience in their life that could be different if they really take to heart all of the wisdom that you are about to pour into us today and they apply it to their life?
That's a really good question because so many people are suffering in silence, both men and women. And so I would tell them the one thing they would really get is finally the freedom that they desire and deserve. So many of us hide behind facades and there is no freedom there. So many men wear Superman capes that are strangling the life out of them. And so many of us identify our worth in what we can bring to this world instead of just us just being in this world. And so if they take to heart what we share in this time together, they can finally evolve to live from the good in their heart instead of the fears of how they'll be perceived.
Wow. The sentence about not being what you do, but allowing yourself to be who you are in your heart. And I know that this is one of those conversations that is going to be shared all around the world. And if you could speak directly to the man who's listening or the young man who may be listening, who probably has never listened to this podcast. This might be the first episode that got sent to him by somebody that cares deeply about him. What will he get from this conversation and listening to you and your experience and your wisdom today?
Every man I know, they're battling internally. And so this is war being waged, but they're losing. And as men, we know what the external wars look like. It could be divorce, marital discord, or just not getting along with your children, being impatient, giving your best to the world, and when you come home, you have nothing for your family. I know what that feels like. I know what depression feels like, but I also know what freedom from depression and anxiety and unresolved anger and childhood trauma looks like. But as men, we have to have that same masculine spirit that we have in protecting our families and providing for them as healing our own selves. The same vigilance it takes to work when you're exhausted just so you can provide for your family is the same vigilance you need to heal internally and wage those wars against childhood trauma, the mother wound, the father wound, whatever it is that's causing you to lose in life. It's time that we learn how to fight the right fight.
What I find so fascinating about you is you are possibly the most powerful, peaceful, calm presence in terms of how a human being shows up in a room and holds space. Like, you're the kind of person that you walk in and you have this unbelievable quiet power and you can feel everybody exhale. Wow. And when I hear you talk about your work, which we're going to get into, it is very interesting. And I also know, because you're a brilliant guy, intentional, that you marry words like war and battles with the freedom and peace that we seek. Why do you talk in such kind of opposite terms, you know what I mean, about the work that you do with boys and men and the way that men should be thinking about their healing?
Well, I do know what's innate in us is to fight, is to be the warrior, is to provide. But also what is in us is the nurturer, the peace giver, the gentleman, the friend, the lover. These attributes or characteristics are in us, but so I have to bring them together and with the warrior spirit. So because society is teaching, has taught men that being a nurturer or being kind are attributes you do not want to have, or crying. We tell our boys young, don't cry. But yet we found out from Dr. William Frey that tears not only contain 98% water, but also stress hormones when we cry and release this emotional pain from our bodies. So then we wonder why so many of our boys repress the pain that they feel, and next thing you know, they're doing something that they shouldn't. And so I always try to intersect the two of being the warrior, but also the one who can bring peace. And so when you give men both analogies, give them the warrior, but also the wisdom, truthfully, we want to win. And we're tired of missing the moment, which is why I wrote this book. So many of us aren't present. We are the wrong man in the moment. When we need to be tender, we're tough. When we need to be patient, we're volatile or dogmatic. And fathers are hurting. I get so many messages and calls from men who are tired of ruining the moment with their children. And then you don't want to live and die with regrets. And so I find it my mission to help men navigate through the pressures of this world, as well as the pressures they face internally, without succumbing to it.
You know, I've been a huge fan of yours for going on 7 years now. When I first started watching some of the videos you post online and some of the news broadcasts about your transformative work. But for the person that's listening right now who may be hearing your extraordinarily calming and powerful voice or watching you on YouTube right now, could you just share a little bit about your background and the work?
Having explored the struggles of fathers in the moment, attention now shifts to the pressing concerns for boys today as they navigate their emotions and the longing for paternal love.
Male. But to your question of the concern, is that I'm concerned for boys now. They're overly anxious, apathetic, an extreme fear of failure, and they're longing to be loved, not only by their mothers in a certain way, but their fathers. And I have to help them navigate through all of these emotions in the moment. That's why I love martial arts, because in sports, I love sports as well, especially with comprehensive coaching. But when a fist is coming at your face, when a guy takes your back in jiu-jitsu and he's choking you, when you're getting thrown and you're blindfolded, so you have to be relaxed and accept the fall, you can't fake it. And so now these emotions surface. And so when I see boys crying and angry, I stop the entire class and say, why are you angry? I know you're angry. This is a surface emotion, which is why I created the Earthquake of Emotions exercise in this book. The anger is what is at the surface, the epicenter, what's damaging everything we love that everyone can see. I teach them how to express the emotions at the hypocenter. If you can stop them there, you will save what's on the surface. And so a young boy may be angry at me, ready to fight me. And I say, dig deeper, Christian. It's not me. It's something that happened to you. And now he cries and releases the fact that his father died when he was young. And then when his grandfather tried to help him, he passes. I had another young boy never express the heaviness of his grandfather dying. Once we gave him the freedom to feel, this boy is one of the best students we have. And so when a boy can be human, when I don't tell him to be fearless because no one can be fearless. Grown men or married men with children understand that when your child is born, it's like your heart walking outside of your body.
Okay, that's amazing.
So you know, okay, there is a such thing as fear. The key is that we don't succumb to it. This is the problem when you allow, when men allow ourselves to be defined by one adjective, masculinity or masculine, because it's just a set of attributes traditionally ascribed to men, strength, boldness, and aggression. So if that is our identity, that becomes our worth, and then our value becomes in our work, what we do. Then you wonder why so many men, especially athletes, when they retire, they have no purpose. They feel like they're worth nothing. Men who are in their late 60s that I've talked to, I can't provide, I can hardly walk, because your worth has been in what you do. Male, I walk around, I take pictures whenever I see an elderly couple out. The wife is peppy, she's moving around, but the husband is on a cane or a walker, barely can move. Because his entire life, he worked himself. He had to prove himself. And so many men can't even take naps, male, when their wives are at home. I used to jump up from the nap when Nicole would come through the door.
Well, because you're going to get in trouble if you're sleeping. Same way with Chris.
But that's a problem.
Yes.
Because as a hardworking man, naps, well, you know this, naps are essential.
Yes.
We're starting to see how it affects our mental health.
Yes. Jason, there is so much I want to unpack with you about everything that you just shared.
Mm-hmm.
And as you keep coming back to some of these statements, freedom to feel, and there is something so much deeper going on that is causing men to feel that their worth is defined by their work, and this inability to both feel what they need to feel deep down, not the anger on the surface that we all see and the frustration, but what's underneath all of that and the ability to rest. And, you know, it reminds me of this point. If you turn to page 4 in your incredible book, you write about this. There's a passage that you have in here that I actually triple underlined, and I'm wondering if you could read the part where you talk about rest.
Absolutely. When men say we're tired, it typically doesn't mean we need sleep. It means we want rest. There's a major difference between the two. Sleep is an unconscious state that provides physical and mental relaxation. Rest, however, is a conscious state of freedom from anything that wearies the soul.
What is it that is making men and boys' souls so weary?
We're living performance-based lives. From everything we do, how we look, how much money we make, how successful you are. Even the misleading mantras, for instance, you know, no pain, no gain. That's not a universal principle, meaning it can't be applied to everything in life. So as a sports analogy, if we had, you and I owned a football team and our top quarterback was injured, towards Achilles, we wouldn't send them right back in the game and say, hey, no pain, no gain. Men live their lives off of that misleading mantra. And then you wonder why, truthfully, the more pain we're feeling, there is no gain. We're really living lives that are detrimental, not only to us, but to our families. We're so geared on being so strong all the time that we don't even go see the doctor.
But oh my God, that's so true. I was just on Chris's case, you know, because he's like not able to sleep and he's, but this is, he never goes to the doctor. He won't allow himself to get sick.
Why go? You're only valued for what you do. I'm not loved. I'm only loved for what I can provide. Why do you think most men, if you ask them, what do you want for Father's Day or your birthday? They say, I'm good, nothing. Because they're receiving something for just being. And that's the biggest plight I see with so many men. And it gets me emotional because they wear the facade like everything's good.
Yeah.
They a lot of times families miss the forest for the trees. They miss the struggle because of the smile. When a man always says, I'm good, nothing's wrong, that's a warning. As men, if someone dies, we hug each other and say, stay strong. So subconsciously, we're programming each other that when we feel weak, we're not men. And say that weakness, that time is meant for us to rest and recover. Rest is not weakness or something that makes you milksop as a man. It's a restoration of strength. Hmm. But if we don't feel loved, only appreciated for what we do, and then what's even deeper, if we don't love ourselves, to many of us, we feel that we're only going to find rest when we're resting in peace.
You mean like when you're dead?
Yes. So why go to the doctor? All I do is work. Why would I want to prolong my life here? A workhorse. I don't want to be a workhorse. I want to be a racehorse that can finish this journey. And along that journey, I'm taking care of myself. But most men are just workhorses. And when it's time for them to be done, they're off in a pasture alone, suffering in their silence, not feeling valuable because their whole time existing, they were doing.
You know, Jason, for somebody that's listening, they're like, you know, I think that that is true about a lot of men, but not my son, not the guy I'm married to. He seems fine. He's okay. You know, he's watching the ball game on the weekend. He's golfing. He hasn't lost his job. We're good. What do you want the person listening to know, particularly women, about the truth?
Ask him, how are you really doing? Intently look into his eyes and hold his hands. How can I support you? I received a call from a close friend just 2 days ago, and it still affects me right now.
Having recognized the silent struggles many men face, the conversation shifts to understanding their emotional needs. As we delve into the insights from chapter 9 that reveal the depth of this issue.
And that was me rejecting a truth. And when I stopped myself and just said, okay, well, let me just process this for a minute. Do I even know what Chris's needs are? Does he even know what they are? And it struck me because I'd love for you to turn to chapter 9 in your book. Because you write about the exact same thing. It's on page 139. And I want you to read the first part of that so we can unpack this. And as you listen, you're either going to feel validated or I want you to have an open mind about the truth of this.
One of the most significant obstacles preventing men from breaking free from emotional incarceration and evolving into comprehensive men is the inclination to suffer alone in silence. This suffering persists because men often believe nobody cares.
See, I think that's probably the biggest problem. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. It ties to that, you know, we'll say, I'm alone. You're not alone.
Well, and I'll tell you something else, and this is probably true of the work that you do and the seminars that you do, are women who are wanting the men in their life to really get some support. And the men aren't thinking they necessarily need it. And I believe that we have an epidemic. I see this with our son, who I'm fine. I got it. You know, would rather just soldier on than burden somebody else and not even sure what he needs. And so I would love to have you teach us, what the hell do we do? Because as I listen to you and I kind of like think about, okay, I'm with you, and I see some of the mistakes that I make that are so subtle, but it's like death by a thousand cuts that isolate somebody. You know, how do you address anger in your son or your husband or your father or your brother? I mean, because if I bring it up and I'm like, dude, you seem angry. He's like, no, I'm not. Like, so how, I'm not running a dojo in Detroit and getting people to, because you have this groundbreaking method that I would love to have you explain to the person listening, but then I want you to teach me, how do I do this? How do I reach my husband? How do I reach my son? Mm. How do I reach my brother? Mm. And I would love for you, Jason, to describe this groundbreaking method that you developed using martial arts and boxing to help boys in particular process emotion. And then we're gonna get into, but what do I do at home?
As men, we have to own what we're doing as unhealthy. Meaning, if we walk around with this looking like a superhero, we're going to keep being asked to do superhero things. Because superheroes don't sleep. They don't need a life. You don't need to go hang with your friends. We first have to remove the cape, leave it at the door, or better yet, put it in the trash and say, I'm a human being. I'm not to be treated like I don't need sleep. I'm impervious to emotional pain or anguish. And so as men, you have to first acknowledge that this life is not what I want.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I want you to give the man listening.
Yes.
An assignment.
And so what to do, I would tell him, first acknowledge that you're worth more than what you can do. When you get there, and when I got there, I was able to say, I can't do it today. I'm sorry, you may be disappointed, Nicole, but I won't be able to paint the living room until next month. Sometimes the most responsible thing you can do, my brother, is to let things go undone so that you can get some rest, so that you can not only be present for your family, but to be present for yourself, to be able to look in the mirror and say, wow, I miss this side here. This is hurting me. This is my father neglecting me. I need to revisit this. Maybe I need to go see a therapist or a counselor, or better yet, I may need to go see my father, because the last thing I would want to happen is for him to transition out of this place with unresolved hurt, pain, and emotions, and maybe trauma. And so identify that you're worth more than what you can do. Also, your value resting actually is a confirmation that you're taking care of yourself. I don't say self-love, I say self-maintenance, because we as men understand what it means to maintain something. So please start maintaining yourself and practice saying no and not now. As hard as it can be as this superhero dad, superhero husband, saying no is actually saying yes to yourself. And you deserve to be treated as a human. You just now have to fight for that in a way where it doesn't condemn or hurt those that you love, but yet you make a stance in protecting where you're going.
I love that. And one of the things I want to highlight is that the first step to changing your life is admitting that you no longer are enjoying the way you're living it currently.
I often tell men, you're not tired of living, you're tired of not living.
Mm.
And that's what men are dealing with. This isn't life. This isn't worth it. Everyone else gets to eat off the fruit of my labor, and all I do is labor.
You've just heard the direct words from you about rest. What would you counsel a man to do next?
It's time to delve deep. Let's go where you fear the most, introspectively. Let's deal with the childhood trauma that keeps resurfacing, the boy that arises in an argument with your wife. Let's help him heal. So many men are walking around with broken boys, and it's truly a sad sight to see, because you can see it in their behavior, fighting at sporting events, just the reaction, no response, just reacting to anything that pricks the skin. And so I tell men to be courageous, and let's delve deep. Let's go where it will hurt, where you will feel what people would say unmasculine emotions. Let's deal with the sadness, the deep hurt of never really getting affirmation from your mother or affection. And I love what Chris is doing. The best place to start is a retreat, especially an intensive one where you have to leave the phone and everything away and go off grid and really deal with yourself. It's another great one called The Crucible, where I went on to heal from my father wound. And all throughout the entire time, I had prayed and God says, I'm going to show you who you are. I didn't think I was a leader because my father would curse me out for the simplest things. I would never do an interview like this if I hadn't dug deep and went to the areas in my life that caused the most chaos internally. So I tell men, run to that like you would run to your family if someone's breaking into your home. You have to be okay with feeling. You have to be okay with being human. You have to be okay with revisiting the past so you can stop allowing your trauma to time travel and ruin your present. And that's what it's about. It's about, you want to be masculine? Let's do it. Let's fight right now. Let's be bold and face ourselves so that now you can become a comprehensive man.
That's it for today. Got a podcast? Head over to podsummarizer.xyz and start summarizing it in seconds. See you there.